Hey everybody, I'm Allene Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, the author of the Nourish Bible Study Series, and the creator of the Nourish Bible Study Method. Welcome today to our podcast. I want to start out with a very important question. Are you living out of your past in such a way that you're limiting your future? Sometimes fear over past mistakes that we've had can create a fear of failure, and it can limit us to where God wants to lead us. I want to talk to you today about redemption, God's beautiful redemption in our life, to take the mistakes that we have made and to redeem them and use them for His glory. But in order for God to do that, we have to choose to believe in His forgiveness, to receive what He's giving us, and to get back up again. Inside of our Nourish Scripture this week, we've been looking at Joshua chapter 8. Now, inside of Joshua chapter 8, we see the Israelites going back into battle again against Ai. Now, when they battled Ai previously in the chapter beforehand, they were strongly defeated by their enemy. And the reason they found out that they were strongly defeated is because there was sin inside of the camp. And not only that, but Joshua didn't inquire of the Lord. And because of that, there were severe consequences that came on the entire camp of Israel. But now that they had dealt with sin, it was time for Joshua to move on. And inside of chapter 8, the very first thing that the Lord says to Joshua is, "Do not be afraid or discouraged." Now, I think this is amazing. Number one, because God is bringing them right back to Ai. In other words, He's bringing them right back to the place where they had made a mistake. And often, God will do that for us. He will provide redemption for us right in the place that our mistake took place. In other words, God will often call for a redo by pressing the rewind button to redeem our wrong and make it right and to reinstate our calling. But let's be honest with each other. Sometimes that can be scary. I mean, the failure that we experienced in our past can be so great that it can give us fear about failing again and wanting to put ourselves out there. But that's exactly what God calls us to do. The very place sometimes where we were hurt is the very place that God is going to heal us. I talked to a woman this past week, and she shared her story with me about how community was the place that she was hurt, but it also was the place that she was healed. And she talked about how it took her a long time to step back out again inside of church community, but she was so glad that she did, because through that experience, God redeemed her past hurt with church to give her a new church family. But in order for God to do that, He can encourage us, He can point us in the right direction, and He can call us, but we have to choose to follow Him and to get back up there. You know, I walked through a very traumatic experience about 5 years ago, and it happened inside of a church that I was a part of at the time. And so when my husband and I began to attend a new church, I remember saying to my husband, "I'm going to go to church, but I'm just going to, you know, sit on the sidelines and be silent." And over time, God has opened up doors for me to serve him inside of my church. And most recently, he's calling me to be the speaker at our church retreat. And that's a really big job. And before that door was open to me, the Lord began to speak to me about redemption. And I know that a part of my journey of healing is going to happen by speaking at that retreat, by God giving me a redo. And as much as I know that, it was amazing to me to attend a meeting where we were making plans about the retreat and to feel these feelings of fear come over me. And it wasn't that I was afraid of public speaking or speaking at a retreat or preparing a message, because I do that a lot as one of the things that I do with Treasure Ministries. It was the fact that I was taking my ministry to my own home church, and that caused a sense of fear. And the reason why it caused that sense of fear is sometimes when you and I walk through a past mistake, we will create these laws in our life that end up limiting us. Now, the laws that we create are done because we just don't want to get hurt again, or we just don't want to make the same mistake again. We've learned a lesson and we don't want to make a mistake again. And they usually start out with, I will never be in a small group again in my church. I will never have a main position inside of my church. I mean, that was my law that I set up, my inner vow. Here's the problem with inner vows. Inner vows create a lens over our hearts that limit the liberty that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so when we begin to say, I will never do that again, or I will never do this again, and you know what? Sometimes God does give us limits. He does give us boundaries. I mean, if you have struggled with alcoholism, God may give you a limit not to go to bars, not to keep alcohol in your home. And that's a good, positive thing. But sometimes we can create these inner vows that become laws that prevent us from walking into the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And that was the reason why I felt that fear. It was because of the inner vow that I had created. And so I totally understand why God said to the Israelites at this moment, or he said to Joshua, don't be afraid or discouraged in verse 1. Now, I think that for sure Joshua had some fear over the enemy and going into battle again, but this enemy specifically, because he experienced defeat previously, was a whole different story altogether. Much like for me to speak at a church conference in front of thousands of people, that's not fearful for me, but there was something about taking a position of leadership inside of my own church that caused me fear. And it caused me fear because I thought, oh, I don't want to put myself out there again. I don't want to make a mistake again, right? But if God is calling us to do something, then those laws can create that lens that might limit us. And we can start to live cautiously instead of courageously and prevent walking inside of our purpose. You see, fear of failure leaves us living cautiously instead of courageously, as we cling to our past instead of giving God an opportunity to redeem our past and reinstate our purpose. And so God comes to Joshua and he says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And you know, when you and I live in regret over our past, we can live in discouragement. Because when you live in regret, you live chained to what you cannot change. And regret also causes us, you know, to worship our past instead of our Savior. Because if our Savior is leading us beyond our past, but we're just reminiscing and in a negative way and reviewing our past mistakes and what we regret, it's really a form of worship, right? Regret also weighs down your life with bitterness and unforgiveness, especially of yourself. And you know, when we lose something, you know, the Israelites lost the battle. They lost a loved one. They lost. And when we lose, the whole idea of loss becomes a reality. When we make a big mistake in life, we are aware of the frailty of our humanity. And all of a sudden, we can start struggling with the fear of failing. And that fear of failing will freeze us. And it's almost kind of like we get stuck. And we live with such extreme caution that we bury our light instead of our past. You see, part of that redemption is getting back up again and moving on and shining for Christ. In the parable of the talents, that in Matthew chapter 25, when it talks about the three servants that were given talents, and two of the servants took their talents out and they multiplied them, but one servant hid his talent, and he hid it because he was afraid. He was afraid, right, that he would lose that talent. And so he hid it, or he buried it in the ground. And the Bible says in Matthew 25 and 26, it says that the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." And so, inside of this passage, we see that God doesn't want us to live with such extreme caution that we bury the light that he's given us to shine. What we need to do is to let our light shine by burying our past. But part of that is that we have to find that courage to walk away from this fear of failure, right? Or this regret over the past. And it's easier said than done, because we want to be perfect, right? We don't want to make a mistake, and that can cause that fear in our life. But the gospel tells us something completely different. The gospel preaches grace and redemption, and that's exactly what God wants to do. God wants to redeem all that was lost in your life. He wants to restore and redeem the mistakes that you've made. And even mistakes that other people have made, where they've sinned against us and we've lost something, that because of that, God wants to redeem all those things too. But we can't live in these past limits, these inner vows. We've got to get up. You see, God encouraged Joshua, but it was up to Joshua to make the choice to respond to God and to move on. And so what's the answer? Well, one of the things that we can do and that we see in this passage is that receiving the ministry of the Holy Spirit will empower you to respond to God and experience redemption from your past and a reinstatement to your purpose. The first thing that we see in Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and actually I'm going to read through these verses really quick, and then I'm going to show you how God equipped Joshua so that he would be able to get back up again and find that redemption. In Joshua 8, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai, for I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. You will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king, but this time you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the town.' So Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack Ai. And it goes on to say that they defeated their enemy decisively. Now, the first thing that we see there is that God encouraged Joshua with the truth. And part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. In John chapter 14, before Jesus goes to the cross, he talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he talks to his disciples in such a way, he says to them, you know, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to abandon you. And I'm going to send you somebody else that you are just, it is just amazing what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And in John 14, 12 through 17, it talks about the fact that we have an advocate. And then verse 17, it says, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Well, see, when we are having these feelings of fear, truth is what will set us free from that fear, because truth overrides fear by changing our thoughts. And the Holy Spirit can speak the exact truth that we need to hear. Do not be afraid or discouraged. That was the exact encouragement that Joshua needed. And we can tell that Joshua was afraid because God told him not to feel fear. But you know, you can't stop yourself from feeling a certain way. And oftentimes we try to concentrate on stopping feeling that way when really the answer is to change our thinking. And when we ask the Holy Spirit to tell us the truth of the situation, it's that truth that can turn our thoughts, which can override our feelings and change our feelings so that we can find courage. The next thing is that God gave Joshua vision. He said to Joshua, "For I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land." I have. In other words, Joshua, I've already done this. This is the vision. You are going to have this. You are going to win in this situation. And over again in the Bible, the Lord gives us vision for our life, right? About who we are in Christ and what he wants us to be. And the Bible tells us in Acts 2:17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." And so if you're listening to this, and maybe you made a mistake, or maybe you regretted going after a dream and you've stopped, you know what? It's never too late to dream. And even though Joshua made a mistake, God immediately gave him vision. And the reason why is that vision is God's provision to pull us out of the past and propel us forward into our future. Vision is so important. And the Holy Spirit is the one that can speak that vision into our hearts. John 14:12 starts out this way. "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." And so there we have this ministry of the Holy Spirit that we will do even greater things. In other words, Jesus is saying, think big, dream big, because the Holy Spirit is with you, equipping you, empowering you. So God encouraged Joshua with truth, and then God gave Joshua vision as provision to pull him out of his past mistake and to propel him forward towards his purpose. And the next thing is that God gave Joshua strategy to defeat his enemy. God told Joshua to set an ambush, and that was the battle plan. And what I want you to see is that in John chapter 14, verse It's verse 16. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth." Some of your translations might say a counselor. In other words, we have the counsel of the Almighty, the wisdom of God, who knows everything. And he will surely give us a plan, step by step, as we spend time with him to hear his words. And what I want you to see is that inside of this battle plan, it was for Joshua to set an ambush. Now, we know previously when he battled Jericho that God told him to march around the walls six times, and then on the seventh time, they were to shout and the walls would fall down. This time, it was different. This time, they had to set an ambush. And if you read the rest of Joshua, you'll see that each battle had a different plan. Our past battle plans may not work this time around. Somebody else's battle plan may not work for you. You know, I spent years wanting to get freedom in a certain area of my life, and I filled my shelves full with self-help books from Christians, and they were all great books. But the Lord really impressed upon my heart, you know, because I was just thinking, if I read just one more book, I'm going to get this, and then I'm going to be whole and healed. And you know, the truth is that our redemption doesn't come from following a regimen, but a redeemer. Now, our redeemer might give us a regimen to follow, but it's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that leads us into all truth. And our truth that he leads us into is very personal. It's not outside of the counsel of God and God's word, but it's a personal truth for us to follow. And that's why I'm very passionate about the Nourish Bible Study Method. The whole goal of Nourish is for you to go to the Bible and to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, for you to connect with Jesus. It's not about an intellectual study of the Word. It's about teaching women how to hear from God through His Word. And part of that is learning how to hear from God, and from that, step by step, God will give us the plan to defeat the enemy of our soul. The next thing is that God gave Joshua the right armor. On into chapter 8, it says that the Lord commanded Joshua to hold out his sword. And Ephesians, in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, it talks about the armor of God. And the only offensive piece, it says, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word is so powerful. And nothing will give us greater encouragement and courage and ammunition against the enemy of our soul than by asking God to speak a word to us, to give us a promise in the Bible that we can cling to. And so it goes on to say that Joshua followed God, and he led the Israelites into a very decisive victory. And I believe that inside of this, God redeemed his past mistake, and he reinstated Joshua inside of his purpose. Now, what am I talking about by reinstating? Well, one of the most beautiful stories of this is found in the Gospel of John in the very end. And we know that Peter, when he was walking with Jesus, said that he would never deny Jesus, but then denied him three times. And after Jesus was resurrected, he comes to the disciples, and I love this, fixes them breakfast. And it says this in John 21:25, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied, 'you know I love you.' "Feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep." And it's just interesting to me that Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And many times when you and I make a mistake, instead of drawing close to God, we'll draw away from him. And we'll become quiet and we won't put ourselves out there. And in this passage, Jesus was reinstating Peter's purpose to go and share the gospel. And that is exactly what God wants to do with us. He wants to redeem the past and do it in such a beautiful way that there's a decisive victory over the enemy. And also a reinstating of our purpose. Now, Joshua's response to this is really beautiful. It says in the Bible that he sacrificed a burnt offering and a peace offering. And oh my goodness, did I not have the best time studying about the burnt offering and the peace offering? And I literally spent 3 hours on it, and I enjoyed it. And there was so much that I could share. But one of the things that I wanted to say about the offerings was that these were voluntary offerings. In other words, it wasn't like the Passover that was designated that they had to do it, or the Day of Atonement. This was something that you voluntarily did. And so out of the overflow of his heart, Joshua came and he made the burnt and the peace offerings. And then he led the Israelites into a time of reading the word and also into a time of worship. It said that half of them got on one side and half on the other. And so if you've ever been, for example, to a Christian concert and you've just sitting in the auditorium and everybody's worshiping around you, and just what a powerful experience that was. This is what was going on. And has God ever rescued you out of a fire? Has he ever redeemed you? Has he ever fought a battle for you that declared such a decisive victory? And you thought to yourself, a week before, I had made this huge mistake, and yet here God is leading me triumphantly. When we experience that amazing, beautiful grace, it just deepens our relationship with God, and it just inspires this time of worship. Now, what's interesting about the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, which you can read about in Leviticus, beginning in chapter 1. But the burnt offering, there was the burnt offering, the meat offering, and the peace offering. Those were the first three offerings. And from what I read, it said that the peace offering was a lot of times offered after the burnt offering. And now the peace offering was an offering of thanksgiving. The burnt offering, it was done so that they could draw near to God. And so they would bring a bull, and the priest would lay his hands on the bull as if to put the sins on the bull. And then the prescription for this particular offering is that the offering would be entirely placed on the altar, and it would need to be burned completely. And so the burning would happen at nightfall, all the way through the night into the morning. And the aroma, the smoke that would come up, would be a pleasing sacrifice aroma to the Lord. And so there's a couple of things that I want us to focus on with this. Number one is that with the burnt offering and the peace offering, this is not what atoned for their sin. That was the Day of Atonement. This was in order to draw near to God. And you know what I thought about? I thought about the fact that even though as Christians that we know that we're forgiven, that we're underneath the blood of Jesus Christ, when we make a mistake, sometimes instead of receiving God's forgiveness through confession and repentance and drawing near to Him, we'll believe the enemy's lies that cause guilt and shame and draw away from Him. In other words, even though Joshua had atoned for the sin inside of the camp, he wanted to bring these offerings to draw near to the Lord. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:14, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us." In other words, Christ, he himself is our peace. And then in Ephesians 5:2, it says, "Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God." Jesus is our burnt offering. He is our peace offering. And in Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 8, it talks about the fact that the animal sacrifices and the burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, that God wasn't pleased with those. And that under the old covenant, that they would have to bring these, these sacrifices day after day, the priests would. But then it says that there was a sacrifice made through Christ. And it says that starting in verse 10, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time." Verse 11, "Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for our sins, good for all time. Then he sat down at the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his seat. For why, by that one offering forever made perfect those who are being made holy." In other words, like the burnt offering that was burned completely, Christ has made us complete. And I think Joshua, even after the sin had been atoned for and he saw the redemption, he wanted to get right with God. And so he brought him a burnt offering and he brought him a peace offering. But for us in the new covenant, verse 19 in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way." And then it says, "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." In other words, go boldly before the throne. That you and I, when we've made a mistake, what the enemy loves to do, because when we sin, it sends a message into our life. And the enemy will take it and he'll lie to us and say, instead of saying, he'll say, "You're a failure. God could never use you again," right? "And you're worthless. You're a bad Christian," all those things. When we go before God boldly to get help from him, and really that's what confession is about. Confession is a blessing to you. We are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, but when I come into God's presence and when I'm authentic with him, when I share my heart with him, when I bring myself to him and say, "I'm really struggling with this. I'm really struggling with these feelings of jealousy. I'm really struggling with forgiving this person." There's a certain grace and a certain intimacy that happens. You see, God doesn't want me being perfect. Christ has already been the perfect offering for me, so now I can come boldly before the throne and get the help that I need. And inside of this passage, we see that that was Joshua's response, that I believe that he was so overcome with thanksgiving and joy and gratitude. Because not only had his sin been atoned for back in the previous chapter, but God just redeemed it with a decisive victory over the enemy. And so he brought an offering. And you know something? Because Christ has rescued us, Ephesians 5:2 says, live a life full of love. Following the example of Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. You see, you and I can offer up our lives, ourselves, but we can't do that. We can't do that while we remain silent, while we believe the enemy's lies and allow him to dull our sparkle. And the answer to this is not by making a burnt offering. It's by leaning on the cross. When you and I lean on the cross and believe the message of the gospel, it will not change your past, but it can greatly impact your future. I want to ask you before closing, have you ever received forgiveness for your sins, your atonement for your sins from Jesus Christ? If you've never done that, I want to invite you to go to www.becomingabraveheart.com and read through the gospel message once more. I also want to invite you to visit that website page. If you're struggling with a past mistake and you feel like that you've been disqualified, and let's say that you know what the gospel message says and that you are a Christian, but you just can't forgive yourself. Let me tell you something. The enemy loves to tell you that you are not worthy and you need to be perfect. And on that page, becomingabraveheart.com, there's a story that I tell about a woman who was trying to be good enough, and then Jesus offers her another way out. Finally, I want to invite you to bury the past, not your life for Christ, because you know what? It's time for you to stop living out of your past in such a way that you're limiting your purpose. I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Isaiah 61. And remember how we were talking about that the ministry of the Holy Spirit gives us truth to encourage us. It gives us vision. It gives us a strategy, and it gives us those promises in the Bible that we can hold on to and hold out to strongly defeat the enemy of our soul. I want you to go to Isaiah 61, and you can print Nourish Notes pages and just spend some time in that passage and ask God, Lord, give me a word of encouragement. Lord, speak truth to me. You can say, Lord, what truth do you want me to hear about my past? And then you can say, Lord, what vision do you have for my future? And then I just want you to journal. I want you to journal and write down what God is speaking to you through his word. And then it's going to be time to put faith behind those words as we believe in what the cross did for us and stand up and be free. You see, living in regret will keep you chained to what you cannot change. And the enemy will use mistakes, sin in your own life to feed you lies And when other people sin, you know, it was Achan who sinned. And because of his sin, it affected all the other Israelites. And sin doesn't just have consequences on us. It has consequences on the people around us. And some of you listening today, you are shouldering shame that is not yours to bear. Sometimes when others sin against us, we take that responsibility on ourselves. So I want you to let that go. And the way you do that is by forgiving others. And the way you let go of those lies that the enemy has told you about the sin in your life, that you're a failure, that God can't use you again, is to forgive yourself. And then it's time to ask the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart, to give you a new vision and a new strategy and a new truth and a new promise for you to hold on to. Living in regret keeps you chained to what you cannot change. And fear of failure leaves us living cautiously instead of courageously as we cling to our past. But you see, God wants to open up a door of redemption for you. And oftentimes, it's right back in the place where your very mistake was made. Are you ready for a redo? I think you are. And leaning on the cross will allow you not to change your past, but to have great impact on your future as you receive the ministry from the Holy Spirit. Thanks so much for listening in today. I look forward to joining you next week for the Treasure Ministries podcast. I want to invite you, this is a fairly new podcast, to share this message with a friend, to tell other people where we are on iTunes. And if you are enjoying this message, it would mean the world if you would rate us so that other women can get an idea of what our podcast is like. And always, I love for you to connect with me and to hear how our ministry can help to serve you better. You can email us at operations@treasuredministries.com. Thanks so much, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.